Topic of our, or the title of our message is Redirected Power. What we've been doing, what the Spirit has dropped into my heart and into my life is Romans 1, 16 and 17, and what the depth of those two verses and what it means for God's people. Those are the flagship verses. Just by quick review, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is God's power unto salvation for all who believe, to the Jew first, but also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. So to rephrase that, and the hope for us is that when the righteousness of God, and remember what the righteousness of God is? His way of setting things and people right. Righteousness, right. His way of setting things and people right. When that is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit, and it's only revealed to us through Spirit-derived faith, Jesus-derived faith, when that's revealed to us, It brings the power, it unleashes power in our lives. It unleashes that very power into our life. It unleashes God setting things right power in our life. When something is revealed to you, it then exerts a power, right? If it's hidden, it has no effect on your life. It has no influence. When God's righteousness, though, leaps off the page of Scripture, by the Spirit, mediation of the Spirit, and it clicks in our heads, that very power that is revealed is unleashed in our lives. The power of God setting things and people right. But that requires Jesus-derived faith. In order for us to get the revelation of what God is doing in Scripture and how that frees us from tyranny, from the power, oppression, and the control of things, is the Spirit has to reveal it to us. There is no way in and of ourselves, if you read Scripture and you do not have read it under the auspice of the Holy Spirit, there is no revelation coming. The only thing that the Spirit does to those who are not in the covenantal family, and Jesus talked about this in John, the thing that the Spirit does if you're not in the covenantal family, is convict you of sin. Jesus said, I'll send the Comforter, and what he'll do is he will convict the world of sin. Absent that conviction of sin, the Spirit does not reveal truths of Scripture. So once the Spirit convicts you of sin, and once you repent, the Spirit then inhabits you, and that same said Spirit then reveals things to you, gives you the faith, gives you understanding of Scripture. And when you understand how God is going to set things and people right, it does something. It releases a power in your life and in my life. It frees you from power, oppression, and control. Hebrews 2:14-16. What's revealed there when you read those passages? Now read that. Now, since the children have flesh and blood in common, Jesus also shared in these, so that through his death, he might destroy the one holding the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who were held in slavery all their lives by the fear of death. The cross has one effect in our lives. The resurrection has another effect in our lives. This is basic foundational understanding that we have to get before we can get anything out of this. The cross, Jesus' death, impacts your death, influences and informs your death. Jesus' life impacts and informs your life. So the cross, his death, affects us a particular way, gives us a particular kind of peace, gives us reconciliation with God, gives us peace with God. That's the cross. That's his death. His life, his resurrection then, gives us another kind of peace. It gives us peace with things. It gives us peace with circumstances, situations, and events. Peace in our life. The cross does this. His resurrection does this. The cross gives us this kind of peace with God. His life gives you another kind of peace. And that is peace with circumstances, situation, events, things. So when I read Hebrews to you, something was revealed to you, if you have the Spirit. What was revealed to you is that Jesus died, and through his death, the righteousness of God is revealed here. The way God is going to set people right here is that the enemy no longer now holds the power of death. The enemy doesn't have that. So what happens when the enemy does hold the power of death? You live in slavery to the fear of that. That makes sense, doesn't it? Paul says in Romans chapter 5, that death reigned. 5:14, Paul says, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who did not sin in the likeness of Adam. People were held in slavery. What are they held in slavery to? Fear. What was the fear? Death. Because they knew that somebody held the power of that death. And the one that held the power of that death was not on their side. The enemy held the power of death. The enemy used death. It entered in Genesis 3. And he used death to destroy things and to destroy people. He had all the power. And now, because you heard that revelation, you are no longer enslaved to the fear. Fear enslaves us. Fear destroys us. And the fear of death is no longer with us. Because when you're a slave to fear, you don't really exist. When you're a slave to anything, you don't really live, you simply exist. I should rephrase that. And people that were held, and maybe you, but I think as God's people, we do have that part of our salvation down. I think that we understand that very clearly, don't we? I don't think there's anybody in here. I don't think there's anyone in here who is afraid and a slave to the fear of death anymore. We're in the covenantal family. We know that the cross has dealt with that. Jesus' death took care of that. Jesus' death took care of our death. We don't have to cower under the fear of that anymore. So none of us are enslaved to the fear of death, are we? That's been revealed to you this morning. That removes the fear. No longer the power, the control, and the oppression of death does not hang over your head anymore. You're not a slave. The author says you're free. But what did the death of Jesus do? Here's where the redirected power comes in. Why didn't God just get rid of death? He didn't get rid of death. He destroyed the one holding the power of death. Death still exists. We will all experience physical death. But what has changed is the power that death once held over us. Death at one time was permanent. It was an eternal death. It was the second death. There was no recourse, no reprieve. But now, instead of God destroying death, he destroys the one that held the power of death. So who holds the power of death now? Death has a power. Who holds that power? God. God holds the power. God now holds the power of death. That's what frees me from fear. We talked about government overreach in an oblique way this morning. Government overreach. Those in power, those who hold a power over us, they can wield that power in a way that can hurt us, can't they? What if we had a totally benevolent government that was totally on our side? There was no corruption. There was no avarice. There was no deceit. Then the power of that government would be to our benefit, wouldn't it? They would use that power to benefit us. That's what God did with death. God didn't destroy physical death. We're all going to experience that. But he did away with the one who held the power of death. And now I know that I'm under a benevolent governor. I'm under one who holds the power of death, but he's on my side. So what does he do here? I'm reminded of, when I was preparing this message, I thought of the the movie Back to the Future. And here we have Marty McFly and his buddy who was the crazy like doctor. What was his name, Barry?
Brown.
Yeah, I knew Barry didn't know that. Dr. Brown. And Marty is stuck in the past. But he wants to get back home. And in the middle of town, there's a bell tower that has a clock. And at one time, lightning struck, and it was destructive to that bell tower. It stopped the workings of the clock. It did some damage to the bell power, a lot of power in lightning. There's a lot of power in death. So Marty McFly and Dr. Brown come up with an idea. Their lightning's going to keep its power, but they're going to redirect the power of the lightning to jumpstart Marty's car and to get him back to his present day. So you see, lightning still held the power. Lightning was still a force. But what they were able to do was to take that force and redirect it for good, to benefit them. Here we have, and you have to understand this concept in order to understand the concept of being free from the fear of things. Because things also have a power, don't they? What God did with death was he redirected the power of that death. He redirected it to affect our physical transformation. Death plays a role. Death is the positive reason for the negative role of death in our lives as God's people. Death is necessary. Physical death is necessary. But now God holds the power of physical death. And God uses physical death in order to transform us physically. We look at Corinthians. How does God use death? Paul talks in 1 Corinthians 15 about the resurrection. And Paul says there that the resurrection of our bodies is absolutely dependent upon us going through physical death. God takes physical death now, since he holds the power of physical death, because he defeated the enemy who used to hold the power of physical death, and now instead of physical death ending our existence, physical death now simply takes us into a new mode of living, into a new mode of existing. Physical death is now used by God, and the power of that death is used to destroy the sin that has invaded our bodies. Now, this is important for us to understand. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians, he said, what kind of body will they have when they come back to life? And Paul says, foolish one, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. Redirected power. The power of death is now under the auspice of God because he destroyed the one through the cross that was holding all of the power of death and had people living in slavery under the fear of that death all of their lives. God now takes that power, he redirects it, and he causes that physical death to bring us into new birth, into resurrection, into new existence through our transformed bodies. Do you believe that? You believe that system? Do you have any recommendations for God to make that better? See, the righteousness of God was just revealed to you. The Holy Spirit made it true to you. You believe it completely, don't you? Your belief in that is the very thing that unleashes that power in your life. Your belief in that system, your belief in God's righteousness here in relation to the cross and to our death and to the power of death, your belief in that makes it a reality. If you don't believe it, it's not a reality. And when you believe it, you see, what has happened to you this morning? It unleashed power. You don't have fear anymore. You don't have to have fear of physical death. Because the power, there's been a power shift. There's been a redirected power. God now takes death and doesn't do away with it. He uses it. He uses it to destroy that which is in our bodies The sin that has invaded our bodies, God uses physical death to kill it. And we come out on the other side absent that which was invading us. Clicking? If you're infected with some kind of an illness, all illness is a result of sin. No, don't spin off on that and think that, well, if I have an illness, that means I'm being punished for some kind of sin. That's not what I'm saying. But we know that God said in Genesis 3, if you do this, sickness is going to invade my creation and you're going to die. So any kind of sickness is the result of sin invading our bodies. How would God deal with that? My little boy, Timmy, had leukemia. Sin invaded. Leukemia invaded that precious body. It was a parasite that invaded the host. How is God going to deal with that? God took the power of death. And when my boy experienced physical death, let me tell you something. That leukemia is dead now. You see what God did through the cross? You see why we don't have to have fear anymore? You don't have to be enslaved to fear of physical death anymore, the author of Hebrews says. And you don't have to live as a slave to that anymore, the author of Hebrews says. What about your things? Do you have fear of things? Circumstances, events, situations? Do they have a power in your life? Because if you believe this system, and I have no recommendations to make to God of how to improve that system, I believe it wholeheartedly, I celebrate it, I'm free from slavery to fear of death, can that same system be transferred into things? Fear of things? Do you trust the righteousness of God to set things and people right? Oh, you trust Him to set people right? You just said you did. God has no specifics to offer me here on this. He doesn't offer you any specifics. He simply says, I now hold the power of death, and I am going to take the power of death, dearly beloved child of mine, and I am going to use it to free you eternally. I am going to use physical death to take away from you that which has invaded your body. And on the other side, God leads Pharaoh, and they pursue the children of God. Watch this. Into the Red Sea. Certain death. But the children of God are in there too. The sea comes crashing down on Pharaoh's men, and the children of God come out safely on dry land on the other side. See, that's physical death. That's the power that God now holds. And it releases us. It frees us because we believe this, and we believe it viscerally. So we don't have to fear and cower under death anymore, because those who were held in the power freed those who were in slavery all their lives by the fear of death. And I believe it, and you believe it, and your belief makes it real. Your belief unleashes the power of that freedom right now in your life. How about your things? The power has been unleashed. God also holds the power of things and redirects that power to affect your spiritual transformation now. Got it? If you grasp this concept, you no longer have to be held in slavery to fear of anything. He took the power of death and redirected it to cause our physical transformation one day. My little boy, Timmy, he's all right. And his body is going to be renewed. Physical death freed him from the ravages of a disease. That same power that your things are holding over you, the same system for God's people is in place. And if you believe in the righteousness of God as far as freeing us from the fear of death, and we're no longer slaves, then you can take that same concept into your stuff. This is big. Because you're being held in slavery of fear of things, circumstances, situations, and events, and it can enslave you. God also holds the power of things, and he now redirects that power to affect our spiritual transformation now. He takes the power of things and he redirects that power to affect my spiritual transformation now. Romans 8:31. What then are we to say about these things? Well, which things, Paul? Well, he's going to tell you in a minute. And they are the things which can hold us in slavery through fear, I'll tell you that. Paul's addressing this very issue right here and right now. If God is for us, who's against us? Well, that's pretty succinct, and that's great. He did not spare his own son, but offered him up for us all. The cross. The cross affects our death. His life affects our life. Here we're getting into the effect of Jesus' life on our lives. He offered him up for us all. How will he not also? You see, he did the hard thing. He pushed the boulder up to the top of the mountain. And at the top of the mountain was the cross. And that was a hard climb. And if he did that, if he pushed the boulder all the way up to the top of the mountain and did the unthinkable hard thing of offering up his own son and killed him on a cross, the boulder now is going to run right down the other side of that hill. Why wouldn't he do the easy thing? You see, you've been reconciled. You have peace with God. You're not an enemy anymore. You're not helpless. You're not a sinner, and you're still a sinner, but you're not an unforgiven sinner anymore. So if you've been reconciled and you're in the family and the boulder's at the top of the hill, why would he not now do the easy thing and roll that boulder down the hill and take care of your stuff? If he can defeat the power of death in my life, I'm certain he can affect the power and defeat the power of things in my life now. Amen. Thank you, Kay. Because some of you are held in slavery today as we sit here, slavery to fear of things. And you're not really living, you're existing. How will he not also with him grant us everything? Of course. He's been resurrected. He's been resurrected for a reason. And that reason is to influence and affect us in our lives now, today. who can bring an accusation against God's elect? God's the one who justifies. Who's the one who condemns? Jesus Christ is the one who died, but then look what Paul says. But even more. This is so Pauline. Paul talks about this trenchantly in Romans 2. He says, the death of Jesus was fabulous and fantastic, and it did defeat death for us. But then he always says, his resurrection is even more. His resurrection has a more impact for us. Don't stop at the death. Don't stop at the cross. Don't stop at reconciliation with God. Don't stop at peace with God. Paul says, and Jesus says, and all of the authors say, there is another type of peace. It is peace with things, peace now and here, that you can experience and get out from under the slavery of the fear that you have about what's coming tomorrow. He is also at the right hand of God, intercedes for us. Hey, I like that. What's he interceding for? What's he talking about? What's he interceding about? What do you think? When you intercede for somebody through prayer, what are you interceding for? Their stuff, their things, their troubles, their problems, their circumstance, situation, events. You're interceding. Jesus is, because he's raised, is now in a position to sit at the right hand of God and intercede about my stuff. My death's been taken care of. I don't need any more intercession about my death. You know, we as God's people have got that down. Let's go and make a second move. I mean, what's that Oswald book? What's the title?
My Utmost.
What's the Streams in the Valley? Who wrote that?
Streams in the Valley. Letty, I'll give it to you.
Okay, there are so many books written about the availability of God's people to have a second movement of peace. He intercedes for us. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Well, here it comes. Here we go. Here's your things. Here's the things that have you enslavement to fear. Here they come. Affliction, anguish, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword. Those are pretty heavy things. Are you held in slavery to fear of those things? Because I'm about to reveal to you, I will say the words, the Spirit will reveal to you God's way of putting that right. Yeah, God's way of putting that right. And just like I have no recommendations for God on how to affect my one day physical transformation, I can't tell him how to do that, nor do I want to. I totally buy into his plan, totally. I'm sold out to that plan, God, about my resurrection. I now take that faith and that assertiveness and I apply it to my things. In order for God's power to be demonstrated in my life, I need his righteousness to be revealed about it, see? Not mine. Are you trying to give God your recommendations about your righteousness about things? God, this is the way I think it should work out. It's my righteousness. Because the minute you do that, what that says powerfully and irresistibly is you don't really believe that God can do it. And the minute you don't believe it, you truncate the release of that power in your life. Did that statement make sense? The minute you do that, you block the power of God's righteousness in your life because it is based on and dependent on us believing it. We had a mini-man meeting this week. I just had it with my boys. And Tadpole says, his favorite verse, what a blessing. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. That says it all. My stepping back, your stepping back from your demands that your rightness be imposed on your things, your stepping back unleashes the power of God's way of setting those things right in your life. Hence the peace. The fear is gone. You're no longer a slave. As long as you insist on your rightness, you're a slave to that demand. If I don't step back, it shows I don't believe he is able. And when the minute I don't believe he's able, it stops the release and the unleashing of his way in my life. And I'm held as a slave to the fear. Yeah? You see, he redirects. Those things have a power. Well, don't anybody tell me that affliction, anguish, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword doesn't have a power. It has a power. Just like physical death has a power. And just like God redirects the power of physical death to affect my physical resurrection one day, God now takes the power of these things, watch this, he takes the power of these things and he redirects that power to transform me into the image of Christ. For we know that all things work together for the good of those who love Christ, those who are called according to his purpose. They have a power. Well, is this not, I mean, if you're a man or woman of God, this has got to be like the best thing you've heard. That he redirects that power. They still have a power. He redirects it like the lightning redirected a power. No, in all these things, we're more than victorious through him, through his rightness, his righteousness, his way. For I'm persuaded that neither death, that's the trick right there, verse 38. I'm persuaded, you see, that neither death nor life, angels or rulers, things present, things to come, hostile powers, height, depth, any other created thing will have the power to separate us. They still have a power. But we serve a sovereign God who looks at the power of the things in my life and your life. That's no problem. I'm going to redirect it. I'm going to redirect it to transform you into the image of my son. So you, loved one, can rest. You don't need to labor under slavery to that thing anymore. You don't need to labor under fear of that thing anymore because now God holds the power. And if he holds the power, I don't fear him. That's what Paul's saying here. If he's for us, who's against us? And so we live there. We live away from that fear. We'll have the power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And what happens? We really live. We're no longer held under the oppression and the power and the control of, or held in slavery of those things. Well, pencil your thing in there. And then you trust God, his way of putting it right. And you let go of your way of putting it right. And the minute you do that, that power of God is unleashed in your life. And we have the promise of God. It takes the fear away from your life and you're no longer a slave to that stuff and you start living. And just like my physical death, in a situation I have no one upsmanship to give to God. That sounds like a pretty good plan, God. I'm gonna let you handle it. Just like that, I transfer that into my stuff. And when I let go of my righteousness, I discover I don't have any really suggestions here either, God. Helpless. Sinners, enemies, godless. See, if you're helpless, it's a blessed, Teresa called it the gracious uncertainty a few weeks ago. The gracious uncertainty is when God's power is let go and unleashed. You tired of being a slave? You want to live? You trust God to resurrect you one day? Then Paul says, you can trust him then to take care of this. Nothing can separate us from that power, the redirected power of our things, redirected power. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that this was clear, and I pray that you would bless these words. Amen.